what does the Bible have to say about healing? There's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions on physical healing, divine healing, whatever you want to call it. But I always want to know what the Bible says about something. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning that have to do with that. Because really, if you spend any time reading the Gospels, reading the book of Acts, teaching it, trying to explain it to your kids or your grandkids, eventually you're going to have to deal with the subject of healing, okay? Because if you don't, then you're ignoring a huge portion of what Jesus did. So you have to address it. You have to teach about it. You have to learn what did Jesus do and why and all the stuff around it. So I just want to take a little bit of time this morning to share with you actually three types of healing that are talked about in the Bible. Three types of healing. And we're going to see a lot of times these three types are interconnected. They work with one another. And one kind of healing will open the door to another type of healing. And we're going to see that sometimes spiritual healing leads to emotional healing. And sometimes physical healing can lead to spiritual healing. And all of them are interconnected. So a biblical viewpoint on the subject of healing is essential if we're followers of Jesus Christ. We have to at least attempt to understand what does the Bible say about healing. So, the three types of healing in the Bible. First of all, man was created as a triune being. We have basically three parts. And what I mean by that is that there's more to each of you than meets the eye. There's more to you than what we just see on the outside. Mankind, man, woman, created in whose image? The image of God. And we know that as a human, we have these three parts. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. That is you. Now, really, the real you is your spirit. That is, when you are born again, you get God comes in. He creates a new spirit, in a way, inside of you. But we are a spirit that is in a... It's just, you can look at the one on the right-hand side. A spirit is the innermost part of you. That's inside the soul, that's inside this body. This body is going to be resurrected one day. We're going to get a new body. But when you are born again, you already have your new spirit. So we're going to talk about the fact of that. This is actually backed up by Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It tells us that, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Right? And you can look at other scriptures. We're three parts. So since man has three parts to his makeup, there's also he has three parts of him that at one point or another can become sick, can become damaged, that will need healing. And the Bible talks about all three of these types of healing. The first type of healing in the Bible is spiritual healing. That's when a human spirit becomes damaged because of the effects of sin in our lives. Your spirit needs to be healed, needs to be remade, and only one person can do that, and that's Jesus. That is God. It's the only one that can do it. Now, don't think I don't point fingers at people. Believe me, because I have had more than my fair share of sin in my life, so I'm not here to point fingers at you, but I know what the Savior forgave me of, and I know there's nothing he cannot forgive you of if you confess it, if you repent of it. So I'm not pointing fingers because, again, you know, I've seen the devastating effects of sin in relationships, in health, the people that I know, people that I love. So nobody's immune from the consequences of sin, but there is a redeemer. There is a healer when it comes to spiritual healing. When we talk about sin, right, in its simplest definition, it just means missing the bullseye on a target. Right? Missing the bullseye on a target. Because when we miss it, what happens? We cause harm to ourselves. We cause harm to other people. And it can cause spiritual death. So it is a serious subject, a serious topic. But spiritual healing, what is it then? So when we talk about spiritual healing, it's the renewal. It's the restoration of the human spirit. And that is what's talked about by Jesus. This is John 3:7. Jesus talks about that a person must be born again. John 3:7. He says, don't marvel. Don't be amazed that I'm telling you this, that I said to you, you must be born again. That's every person. Every person needs to be born again. And that's not me saying it. That's Jesus Christ himself saying that. Everyone needs to be born again. And that healing, spiritual healing, comes when a person receives forgiveness from God. When God's grace, his grace of forgiveness, comes upon a person. And it's when you're accepting the forgiveness offered by God, when you enter into that personal relationship, and I cannot stress that enough, it has to be a personal decision. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church. It doesn't matter if your parents are the greatest believers, Christians you've ever known. It has to be a personal decision that each one of us makes. And even for the Christian, forgiveness. And there's teaching out there right now that once you're a believer, you never have to repent again. You don't have to confess your sins again. But forgiveness is something that I believe the Bible strongly teaches. It has to be maintained on a consistent basis. Because if you don't, your spirit again can become wounded. It can become hurt. It can become weakened. And it needs to be built back up when that happens. So this is one of the reasons why some people, though, also become spiritually proud, or they get a religious spirit, because rather than walking in humility, knowing that they're no better than anyone else, they're just saved, right? They start thinking they're better than the other people around them, right? But we're just forgiven. We've recognized that Jesus paid the penalty for us, and we've received him as Lord and Savior. So we have to understand, and we can never forget our need to maintain a constant flow of forgiveness. That's why one of my favorite, probably almost next to John 3:16, one of the first verses that I memorized was 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. No, all. Now, I can't explain exactly how that happens. But the Bible says that's what he does. That when we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know how he does it, but praise the Lord that he does it. The second type of healing is emotional healing. Emotional. A lot of people, I don't know of a single person that's never needed emotional healing at some point in their life. That's when your soul, the soul of a person, when you receive emotional healing, that's when you're no longer reacting to things that happened to you, that people did to you. You're no longer holding that grudge. You're no longer holding or that misery or that thought of how horrible it was. God has set you free. He's healed you emotionally. Because when we sin, what do we feel? Guilt. You do feel, you might try to suppress it. You might try to, you know, justify it. But there is, if you're a believer and you sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So you start to feel guilty. And it's not, guilt is not just a fact. It's an emotional reaction to something that you or someone else has done. So when somebody else sins against us, do you feel all kinds of emotions when somebody does you wrong? Right? You feel angry. You feel betrayed. You can feel shame. You can feel bitterness. You know, we're told, though, to not let a root of bitterness take hold within us. We're told that because it's destructive. We have to walk in forgiveness even when people do stuff. It's not. It's for us. And so we can continually walk in the love of Christ and not hold on to that. So emotional healing is when you no longer react with the emotions when you think about or when you remember what you did or what others did to you. God has healed you of that. Now, King David is an interesting character, person to study in the Bible, and we know that he committed adultery. He committed sin. He committed, he really set up the death, the murder of the woman that he wanted, her husband, Uriah. But we also know that King David is called a man after God's own heart. And sometimes it's hard to reconcile. How can you be a man after God's own heart when you've been guilty of murdering people, when you've been guilty of committing adultery, right? But in Psalm 32, when David got honest with God, he received not only spiritual healing, but he also received emotional healing. So Psalm 32, just verse 5, David writes, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt." Have you ever been there thinking that you can hide your sin or hide your guilt from God? You can't do it. And so even David recognizes, finally, how did he finally do that? When he was confronted by the prophet, Nathan. When we read the Bible, sometimes we're confronted with something that we've done, and we need to go to God and confess it, just like David did. "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." I don't understand how God can do it, but he can do it. He can do it. He can help you. When you confess it, I don't know how God necessarily forgets it, but it's like he puts it in the furthest. And I heard someone explain it this way. When he casts it into the furthest part of the sea, doesn't even bring it up, and he puts a no fishing sign in that part of the ocean. Don't go try to bring it back up. The enemy will try to bring it up. But when the enemy tries to do that, you just tell the enemy, "I've already confessed it. It's already under the blood of Jesus." And God is not the one that will bring it back up. He will not bring it back up. Not only was David forgiven, I mean, this is amazing. He also received the removal of the guilty feelings that he had. He was emotionally healed by God. Let's look at the third type of healing. So we've talked about spiritual healing. We've talked about emotional healing. No one has a real issue with that, not too confrontational. But now you get to the subject of physical healing. And that can bring up some heated debates, heated arguments about, does God heal? Is it his will to always heal? And on and on and on and on. And because I've had some of those conversations. So I know that that's possible. And I know that it's controversial in the body of Christ even. And, you know, if all I knew about physical healing was what I saw on Christian TV, I'd be a little skeptical myself about it. But I don't get my understanding or my inspiration or my beliefs from Christian TV only. I get it from the Word of God. That's where we have to be. I get it from the Bible. And you know what? For better or worse, healing, physical healing, was not some TV evangelist's idea. It was God's idea. It was his idea. So we have to wrestle with it. We have to come to an understanding. What does God's Word say when it comes to physical healing? Because he is the one. Look at Exodus 15. Verse 26, Exodus 15, 26. "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, God says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." That's where we get Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is the healer. He is the one that heals. God is the healer. When we pray for people up here, when we have people come forward, I'm not healing anybody or anyone else that's up here praying for people. God is the healer. Jesus is the healer. Right? Now, we stand in faith and agreement with what you're praying for. If it's a physical healing, emotional, a spiritual, you need to get saved, you need to get right with the Lord, we'll stand in agreement. But it's God that does the work. It's him. It's him. And it was Jesus who fulfilled the prophecy that was made concerning the coming Messiah, that the Messiah would take how many of our sicknesses? He would take all our sicknesses and he would carry all our diseases. He would, on the cross. That's what the Word of God says. So it was Jesus who said that one of the signs, look at Mark 16, verse 18. This is one of the signs of a believer, not of just an apostle, not of a prophet, not of an evangelist or just a pastor, but it was all believers. Jesus said that they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is Jesus that said that. Not me, not someone on TV. That's Jesus that said that. So physical healing was whose idea? God's idea. It was God's idea. It was not some creation of man. Okay? Now people, man can take it and use it with the wrong motivations for their own benefit, to get rich, whatever it is. But it's God is the healer. He's the one that brought up the idea of physical healing. Now, how are these three types of healing connected? Because they can be connected. And what I mean by that is that one type of healing can lead to another type of healing. You see that all through the Bible. It's not always the case, but many times it is the case. How many times do we see God, you know, one of the disciples or an apostle, would pray for someone to be healed, or Jesus would pray for somebody to be spiritually brought back into or forgiven of their sins, or actually he would heal them and then they'd receive salvation. We see that over and over. You read the book of Acts. Now you might not want to believe it. That's fine. Because we know that Jesus was only limited by people's unbelief. We see that when he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he said that he only could perform a few minor healing miracles because of their unbelief. So, I don't know, you do what you want, but I'm thinking that unbelief can cause even Jesus to not be able to perform the mighty works that he came to do. So we have to be very careful. Now, how do you build your faith? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. When you read his word and you believe it, and you cannot read this word as a believer and not grow closer to Christ. And as you grow closer to him, your relationship, because this is, it's not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. This book is about how to have a relationship, not about how to have traditions, not about how to anything other than really, how can I have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, with God Almighty? How can I have this relationship restored? It's about relationship. Think about your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, right? It's not necessarily a list of rules. It's about how you love each other, how you treat one another, right? Now, with your kids, you probably do have some rules. But when they're adults, you have influence, but you don't really have any more rules. Unless they're living in your house, then you might have some rules. But generally speaking, right, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. Now, let's talk about how spiritual healing can be connected to emotional healing. We saw that in the example of King David. We just read that passage, how he received emotional healing after he received spiritual healing. Now, many times, I've seen with talking with people, and even sometimes in my own life, that you are not released. Now listen, you are not released from the torment of being emotionally wounded until you first get things right with God. You get things right with God and you receive forgiveness from God for yourself, because it's pretty hard to give forgiveness to someone else if you haven't received forgiveness from God in the first place. Now what does Jesus say about forgiveness? He says a lot about forgiveness. But he says if you choose not to forgive, neither shall my heavenly Father forgive you. Now that's pretty serious. I don't want to be guilty of walking in unforgiveness against anybody, because I need the forgiveness of God. I need the forgiveness of God in my life every day. Now many times I've seen people get healed physically after they've dealt with an emotional wound. Now, what am I talking about? A person, if a person is bitter, if they're angry at somebody, they're going to have a lot harder time trusting and believing God to heal them physically than a person who has dealt with those emotional issues. We're even told in the New Testament, husbands are warned that if you don't treat your spouse with love, with respect, then that could hinder your prayers. You look it up. Again, don't believe everything I say. You failed today's test if you just take everything I'm saying. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Because I had to search them, believe me, in all a lot of different topics to see if these things were so. Think about it. How can you trust a heavenly Father to heal you if you still have in the back of your head that your own father, someone in authority, had let you down? It influences how you view God if you don't deal with that, if you don't let God help you deal with that. Now, sometimes it's just the grace and compassion of God. Sometimes it's just his grace and compassion. And there's many times I've seen that God's grace and compassion poured out on somebody who's not even a believer. Did Jesus ever heal people that weren't believers? He did. Sometimes it's just his grace and compassion poured out. But you know what? That physical healing can lead to their spiritual healing, right? And the person, you know, it's getting their life right with God. It's getting their heart right with God. What does Romans 2:4 tell us? Romans 2:4, which will be right there. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness? Does anyone in here despise the richness of God's goodness? I hope not. Forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So you can see, we need all three types of healing in our lives. At times you need physical healing. At times you need emotional healing. At times we all need spiritual healing. Or you don't have a relationship with Jesus if you've never been healed spiritually. But even as a believer, we still make mistakes. We just sang a song. We still make mistakes, and we need to go to God, confess those mistakes, and he will heal us. He will heal us. Because, again, we need to understand this, because we have something great to offer this world. This world is suffering from physical disease, physical illnesses. It's suffering from emotional abuse. How many people? We all know people that are suffering horribly emotionally. And this world is suffering spiritually more than anything else. And only one person can bring healing to this hurting world, and that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to dismiss those who are going to be baptized this morning to go downstairs and to change and get ready for that. I'm going to ask Sean to come up, and he's going to lead you all in a couple worship songs while we go change and get ready for that. But tonight, I want everyone to come back for part two of this message, because tonight is this going to be scripture after scripture about God's healing power. And it's not my opinion. My goal is not to give you, I have an opinion about it, but my opinion is based upon scripture. And I love what Pastor Feit would say, God doesn't have any opinions. He doesn't have an opinion about healing. He is healing. He is the healer. And his word, I believe, backs that up. And you know what? If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, I believe you come back tonight and you hear some more. I'm going to give you my top 10. My top 10 scriptures about healing, okay? When we read these and meditate and believe on them, I believe God, through his word, can impart healing to you. I don't believe that sickness is a blessing. Can God use all things for good? Yes. But we're going to see, and I don't believe that God will make you sick in order to bless you. I believe he will heal you to bring blessing to you.